Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. By faith. By faith. I mean, think about this. What moves God? What moves God? Does sickness move God? I've seen lots of sickness, and if you travel the world, you're going to see just generations of sickness. And that exists in the context of what's going on. The question is, does it move God? And does poverty move God? Does this need for stuff and food and finance, and does that move God? And or does trouble move God? Let me tell you what moves God. Faith moves God. Not some formula. A trust in who he is, and that he talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He says, listen, I mean, if the birds of the air are taken care of, if the grass of the field is dressed with all of its splendor,
that's right,
aren't you much more valuable than that? Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be. Listen, it's faith knowing that he's going to take care of you. It's faith knowing that when we walk in obedience to what he says, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. It's that confidence. He tells us in Hebrews 11, he says, now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. It's surety and it's certainty. And he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. They weren't commended because they lived in a certain village. They weren't commended because they were a Jew. They weren't commended because of this or because of that. They were commended because they were men and women of faith. It's important to bring clarity to your life, to your purpose, and what you are believing God for. How in the world can you be confident and sure in what you don't even know and can't even explain?
That's right.
You can't have faith in what you can't even see in your heart, that you can't even tell me about. And it's like, they're just, well, you know, just hoping in my need, in my sickness, in my poverty, in my whatever, that just God, because he's good. Mm-hmm. You're right, he is good, but that's not going to move him. What moves him is your faith and confidence in knowing that he would. Because how can we be sure and certain of what we don't even know, understand, or can't even picture in our own hearts? You know, Habakkuk 2:2-3 tells us, listen, write it down, make it plain, make it clear so other people can understand. Though it linger, wait for it, it will certainly come to pass. Write of it and the end as if it already was. And you'll see what you've believed already was come to pass. It's important to seek God, abide with him, study his expectations of you, understanding in James chapter 4, verse 3, we're told, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask God with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. He's letting us know, listen, it doesn't matter just having a vision for your life or having an understanding of what you're believing God for and what you're moving in faith for. It needs to line up with the word of God.
Hello, yeah.
It needs to line up with God's expectations are. Many don't ask because they're never taking time to get clarity of what to ask for. You know, people talk about the problem. Oh, the problem. Did I tell you about the problem? Oh, the problem, the problem, the problem. Did I tell you about the problem? Have I told you about the problem? The problem. You know, it's like, wow, that problem's going to be around for a while.
Exactly.
Just magnifying.
Yeah, it's just magnifying. So you're locking your faith into it. If any two agree, the worst thing you can do is find somebody to agree with your problem, right?
Oh, yeah, you got a big problem there.
Yeah. And in the context of that you've got to get clarity. So you'll ask God for what you know you need to ask him for. If you got clarity, if you're believing God for a house, for example, you're going to ask him for to take you to places that encounter a particular piece of property. You know, right. I mean, there's something you're going to be praying specific. God, show us a house. But if you don't know you want a house yet, you just know you want a place to stay, but you're not even talking about it. It's like whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sickness, your pain, your sickness, what you're struggling with, poverty, whatever. It doesn't move God. What moves God is faith. Many, and also the reason why people begin to move on, I'm talking about, and they apply these principles of the kingdom, and it doesn't happen because they ask with the wrong motives. You know, though it seems religious, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of all. It has to do with their kingdom, and they're talking about, and you think, well, they did everything. I don't know what it is, and God knows their heart, right?
God, mm-hmm. As God doesn't know, right?
Yeah, God already knows their heart and knows what's going on. I think about it in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 27, about Simon the sorcerer. Mm. You know, Simon's watching. Here he is. He's like the local soothsayer in the community who does his magic in his local, you know, palm reading shop.
All right.
You know, up the street, and he's amazed a lot of people with mm-hmm. his trickeries and all that he can do. But then he sees men of God come into town, and they begin to minister, and people are getting saved. And they call for the apostles to come, and they lay hands on these folks. And when they lay hands on them, the power of God hits them, and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. The dunamis power of God comes on these guys. And so Simon goes, oh my goodness, I want that. Mm-hmm. This is his vision. His vision was he wanted to have what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even willing to buy it. He was even to say, you know, how much does this thing cost? This, you know, lay hands on me so I can get, you know.
Wow.
And I've seen God begin to move in a powerful way. And I've seen people just like Simon. And you can see just the dripping, drooling lust of like, I want that. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yuck, nasty, dirty, not good. Why are you coming from? Why do you want power? Yesterday you were in adultery. Why do you want power? You know, and it's like that's that whole Simon thing. They were wanting, it's about self.
Mm-hmm.
And be careful. Don't be go laying your hands on just anybody. You know, understand that that is for the kingdom of God. It's for believers, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so in the context of that he turns around and he says, listen, you be accursed. May God deal with you ever so severe. I can't believe you even thought about that with the wrong motives. Today, people don't say anything. They know plain as day that person's got the wrong motives. And they're thinking all these things about how they can actually be a superstar, you know, in the kingdom of God. And they want, you know, whatever. And or their workplace, they're wanting this business. Like, yeah, last time he gave you a business, you just used it all on yourself. You know, last time he gave you, it was all about you. And in the context of that, so then you're wondering, well, how come this thing ain't working? It's not working because you're not doing it with God.
That's right.
All right.
You're doing it as God.
Mm.
And that's not going to work. Even if it works well for Simon, it won't end up well for you. But I think about this. I think about Hebrews chapter 11, which is really the hall of faith, the hall of fame for those who walked in faith. He says, and it's by faith. Listen, you want to see God move? Get some confidence in God. Get in the word of God. Begin to believe God for what he says in your life. Quit looking to everybody else and begin to believe God for what he said he's going to do and begin to walk it out. But this is what he says in verse 3. He says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Well, you got, this is the beginning parts of faith, understanding that you got to understand when you look at everything and the stars and the universe and the Milky Way and the earth and the weathers and the seasons and even you yourself, that you understand God has created this and he's holding it all together and he's giving it life to exist. Therefore, since he's the creator, anything's possible with him. So there is no boundaries. There is no limitations. There is no, I can't believe that even happened. Where did that come from?
Mm.
And he says, and he goes on to say, so that we have to understand that, so that what is seen, understanding this, what is seen was not made out of what was visible, what is visible. So we understand that it doesn't matter what you're looking at. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what sickness you're seeing. It doesn't matter what poverty situation. It doesn't matter what your nation is doing. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. You can look at something that does not yet exist in your vision, in your natural vision, but what you're seeing in your heart, what you're believing God for, you can speak it over that situation. It's going to begin because that's how things are made.
Mm.
Things in the universe were made by God, who is unseen, and he made it from things unseen, and he spoke it into existence, and he created us in his image and his likeness. Therefore, we're going to have to operate as he operates in the context of that under his lordship in our life. So this was all spoken into existence, which means what? You got to speak some things into existence. You're going to have to say something. Quit looking to everybody else to say what you should have been saying all along. And by the way, quit speaking death over everything God's doing. Just clam it up. Like your mama said a long time ago, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all.
At all.
Well, right. In the kingdom would say, if you can't say nothing but doubt, shut it up. Because you are stopping. You are hampering the movement of the kingdom of God. I mean, think about it. Even Jesus said to Peter when Peter's mouth was set on fire by Satan, his tongue was, mm-hmm. and he said, just don't go to Jerusalem right now. It's not really good. I've got some stuff going on. He's like, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. And so you gotta understand, it's important who you're letting speak in your life. And if you're near somebody's ear, you've been given a privilege. You've been given a privilege. And you need to honor that privilege and what you say and what you do in their eyes and what you do in their ear, that you don't want to hinder any of their faith. Because understand this, if you do that, you're hindering the kingdom of God. You're hindering the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He says, you have on your mind the things of man, not the things of God. And that's where this struggle comes in. What is your faith in God? Is your faith in what you're wanting for yourself? But he says, so we got to speak things into existence, because God moves by faith. You got to begin to say something. You got to do the working of miracles. You got to do the working of ministry. You got to begin to speak things and begin to sow the gospel. And I think about what Jesus said in Mark 11, 22 through 24. He says, have faith in God. Mm. Have faith in God. This God who created everything that exists from what presently is not even seen. He says, I tell you the truth, Jesus says. If anyone, and who is anyone?
Anyone.
That's anyone. Mm-hmm. That's anyone, right? That includes you. If you're listening right now, that includes you. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, has faith, that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Well, there's some components, and that's very, very important that you have to understand. First of all, you're included then, so you have to look to everybody else. Go, well, I don't know. They just don't do something for me. It's like, do something for yourself. Believe God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Have faith in God. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, what is the mountain? I don't know. It could be a relationship mountain. It could be a financial mountain. It could be a ministry mountain. It could be a marriage mountain. It could be a child mountain. It could be a parent mountain. I don't know what it is. Go throw yourself into the sea. Okay. You first speak that out. You have to speak that as it, you're not seeing in the natural, but you're speaking that as though it was, right? Habakkuk 2:2-3. Mm. And don't doubt it in your heart. Don't let the enemy sow doubt in your heart. Don't let him begin to say, and that's why you have to watch out, because you'll have people like Peter with their tongue being set on fire around you going, well, did you measure it? Is it going to really fit? And how's the second story? The second story, I'm believing God for the first story. Now you have the first story being crushed by the second story, and it's like, what is going on?
All right.
I'm hearing this. I want to hear this.
Yeah. Less of that.
Yeah, more of this. And so he says, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So doubt is something goes inside of our heart. And we realize the heart speaks from the overflow of the mouth. So if you got doubt in your heart, guess what's going to come out? You may go 8 hours. You may go 2 days or 2 weeks. And next thing you know, it's going to just stir up, fill your heart up. And next thing you know, it's going to come out. You're going to speak death over the blessing that you begin to believe God for. He says, do not have doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen. What does that mean? Satan is going to use every captive individual to come your way to try to convince you that what you're believing God for will happen. This must not be God, because I've had several people say, don't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
No, that's people held captive to do Satan's will. This is your chance to be able to prove your faith to God.
Yes.
You're proving of your faith more precious than gold. And he says, if you'll do this, it'll be done for you. He says, therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, remember, it's prayer in accordance to his will, that you believe that you receive what you prayed for, and it will be yours. So you have to see this thing. You have to get clarity what you're believing God for. We call that a vision. We call that direction for your life, a vision for your marriage and your family and for your ministry, for your business, for your place that you work at. I'm telling you what, if you just get a vision for your place that you're working at, your boss is going to go, listen, I always wanted a son like you. I always wanted a door like you.
Come
on
in. Come on in.
And so we have to begin to just, we're asking for something, not because, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ask for set you a God. I just need to be healed. Could you heal me? But you have no confidence in your heart that you're ever going to be healed. You have no confidence in your heart you're ever going to be blessed. You have no confidence that it's ever going to temple. It's like, you're just being religious.
Yeah.
You're just being religious. And in Mark 11:25, the importance of not holding unforgiveness is talked about in there. And he says, listen, at that particular point, you need to go make things right with somebody, because it can stop the power of God in your life. It can stop the manifestation of the glory of God in your life. Faith is so important, because so many people can easily get offended, not understanding because the word of God is not being taught, that they're wanting God to do something, but they're not wanting to move in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just do it. I'm being very religious here.
Right.
You know, I'm doing stuff and things. It's like, but you got to have faith in God. And so I want to, we're just talking about this, by faith, things happen. And you think about it that, so then faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. That's confidence. That your confidence has to be in God and God's goodness and his desire to reward you and to keep you and to protect you and clothe you better than the grass of the field. And the God who does make sure that not one bird falls from the sky without his permission to be able to do it. And so you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. And that's your faith. Do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. Think about it. So do not throw away your confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. God rewards those who diligently seek him, those that are confident in his ability to do what you're believing him for. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, which requires perseverance. You got to hold on. I mean, if you're going to have a baby, it's going to take 9 months.
Right.
You know, it's going to take 9 months. You can want it there sooner or whatever, but it's pretty much, you know, if it's a normal process of birth, it's going to take 9 months. And nobody's more anxious to have that baby than the mother at that ninth month, the last trimester, that's just like, get this thing out of me. I love it, but it needs to come out of me. But it's perseverance. When God begins to birth something in your life, you're believing God, there's going to be a price, the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold. You're going to have to persevere. Enemy's going to attack your confidence. So, and he goes on to say, he says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Which just nails, like, shrink back, folks, it's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
It's about faith. So when somebody tells you it's about religion, you think, yeah, I'm just going to shrink back from this, and I'm just going to be religious. And it's like, does that mean you left God? Does that mean you walked away from God at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, today it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to be anywhere where I have to do anything. I just want to go somewhere where I sit. I just want to shrink back to the back chair, pew, coffee shop, wherever how you walk out your expression. And he says, listen, he says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Saved.
Saved. So you're going to have to do battle. You're going to have to do battle over your confidence, your surety, and your certainty. He tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. It's so important to understand without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's that pleasure when we trust God and we're believing God and we're speaking it out and everybody's looking at you going like, what do you mean, father of nations? You haven't even had a child with Sarah yet. But against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed, and so became the very profession that he professed to everybody around him, because God told him that you're going to be the father of many nations, and the promise is going to happen. For years and years and years, everybody probably ridiculed him. Listen, if you're worried about the fear of man or the fear of God, you're never going to move in faith. And we need men and women who are going to stand up today that says, you know what? I don't care. Pretty much you're going to be used, Peter. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're going to say stuff. I'm already adjusting myself now to respond to you going, get behind me, Satan. You got on your mind the things of America, not the things of God. And so when you think of it, so it's by faith. That's what moves God. So, hey, you want to move God? You want to move God? Quit bringing up your budget and start bringing up your heart to faith and trust him and your words and your conversation. Because he says right there in Hebrews 11:5, he starts saying, he says, by faith, Enoch, think about it. Enoch, by faith, was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Listen, that was by faith. When you hear about Enoch, it was because he walked in faith. By faith, Abel offered up God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Think about it. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead.
Mm.
What's going to happen when you pass?
Mm-hmm.
Are they even going to remember your name?
Mm. Right.
If you moved in faith, we're still talking about those folks today.
Right.
And he says in verse 6, it's impossible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's why the enemy's working so hard to take the knowledge of God out of America and the Ten Commandments down and the crosses down, because the empowerment that comes from you just knowing that he exists and he's awesome and all powerful is something. But it's by faith. By faith, Noah when warned about things not yet seen. I mean, I could so relate to Noah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet seen. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. But it was by faith. It wasn't because he watched some TV program.
Right.
It wasn't because, you know, he read some book somewhere, or he heard somebody. In his heart, he was sure and confident that what God had told him was going to come to pass. So he had to prepare. In a time that there never was a water, there wasn't rain prior to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's building a boat in a place that isn't even have any water. And it's never even rained before.
A monstrosity at that.
Yes, right.
It's a huge thing, you know?
Right. And so understand, this is how God operates. He's looking for somebody who will just believe him. Oh, the odds are coming against me. Well, that's a great, perfect time to move in faith, wouldn't you say it? Now you don't trust in that stuff. You trust in God. By faith, Noah, think about this. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, just by obeying God against the odds, against everybody else. Everybody got destroyed but Noah and his family.
Wow.
By faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Later, I remind you, to receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Listen, so many people say, listen, I'll follow God if you just tell me where. It's like, that's not faith, and he's not going to direct you. So where you end up, you have to leave there and eventually go to where he's called you to be. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, where, think about it, this is his land, but he's living in like a stranger in there. Somebody says, well, you said that this is all going to be your land. And now here you are living in a tent. You must have missed God. No, this is somebody that's the father of faith. Mm. He's believing God, living as a stranger in the land, who were heirs with him of the same promise, talking about his sons. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Listen, it's being heavenly minded. It's not about this life. This life is a chance to be able to show and prove ourselves that we have faith in God, that God can do all things, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What does this generation need? It needs men and women who just believe God. That's what Jesus said. He said, just believe God. Have faith in God. A. Allen used to always say, you don't have no problem. All you need is faith in God. Over and over again. God just did awesome things through his ministry. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past his age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise to him. The thing is, you have to believe God. Listen, hey, nobody, you're going to have to go through a time. People look at you like you're a stranger in a foreign land, but you're still understand what God has spoken to you. You got to hold on to that because when God does it, many people are going to come to the Lord because they know that was God and you were believing God for it. And so from that one man and his body being as good as dead came the descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and countless as the sands of the seas. We're talking about today Abraham that went to like 90 years old before he had his very first child when God said he's going to have so many children that you can't even count them. And we're talking about him today, and people are even trying to claim him by foreign religions. Understand, his faith is being heard of even today. I mean, think about it. It's all by faith. It's by faith that Abraham did all this and he was tested. It's by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israel from Egypt and gave instructions even about his bones. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you believe God, you're projecting. You know, when I'm looking over the banister of heaven, I want this to be taking place on the earth. Listen, I'm believing God. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for the 3 months that he had to be hidden after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They didn't care what people were saying. This is what God said. And by faith, Moses did what he did in leading God's people out. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as being on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried, why? Because they didn't have faith, right? So they weren't following God. They were trying to destroy the people of God. They were actually drowned, but it was by the faith of men who trusted God and just did what God said. Having faith in God, as God begins to speak something out and you begin to walk in the context of what he's saying, it's his instructions, it's his orders, it's his will, not yours. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he is fulfilling what he wants to do on the earth through you. That's why you can trust that his plans are good. I mean, think about it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around it for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, think about it. It was by faith that she did this. because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. But it was by faith.
Yeah.
A prostitute had faith. More faith than anybody in that whole city of Jericho. And on and on and on. He goes on to say in verse 32, and what more shall I say? He's talking about these awesome men and women of faith. He says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jonathan or David or Samuel or the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again by faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. This was done by faith. Mm. They endured the jeers and floggings, and still others were chained and put into prison. By faith, they survived it. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not even worthy of them. Why is this? Because they were pleasing God. They were operating in faith. They were trusting God through the processes that God had them go through to bring to pass his will. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. For their faith.
Wow.
What moves God? Listen, this is what Jesus said. When the Son of Man comes back, will he even find faith on the earth? Quit looking to everybody else. If you call yourself a believer, that word is interchangeable with the word faith. And the thing is, do you have surety and certainty in the God that you profess to follow? It's time to step up. It's time to face all your fears and get out and begin to tell people about this God who sent his son Jesus into the world to save them, to forgive them, and to bring them into his family and to restore them and restore the year the locusts had devoured. It is time for us to rise up as a church and begin to move in faith. Not just one man, not just one woman, not just a few. All of us. The church needs to arise from its sleeper state, and there's hope for a world if the church would have faith in God. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.